You're tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Common Ground. This is a place where you get real conversations, real connections, and absolutely no filter. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. I hope everybody's doing fine today. Before I really get started with my topic of today, I just want to give a tribute to three iconic figures who just passed away this past week. It's like back-to-back. Yeah, like every day, each of them just passed away. And these gentlemen have been in the business for over 40 years. Matter of fact, we're talking about Ozzy Osbourne, Hulk Hogan, and Malcolm Jamal Warner. You know what I mean? Those three iconic gentlemen who just passed away, you know, unexpectedly to me. You know what I mean? So let's first talk about Ozzy Osbourne, all right? So I was not a fan of his music because I'm not I'm going to listen to some heavy metal music. You know what I mean? I couldn't even name one of a song that he actually sang. You know, but I've heard some of his songs in the past, but even if I hear it, I'll be like, oh, that's Ozzy Osbourne, you know what I mean? Because I know he has a lot of popular songs out there. Just like I said, I was not a fan of his music, but I was a fan of his reality show, The Osbournes. That's when the world fell in love with this man. You understand me? The world fell in love with this man because of the reality show that he had back in the early 2000s. The show revealed the real Ozzy, funny, quirky, flawed, and lovable. I'm telling you right now, when I used to see this man on TV, he would crack me up. I would just laugh, man. I swear, I love that show. What touched me the most was his family, his wife, Sharon. She stood by him through everything, through the drugs, the fame, and public scrutiny. You know what I mean? And also, not only we fell in love with Ozzy Osbourne, the family man, we also fell in love with his wife, Sharon Osbourne, you know, because we didn't know who she was before the reality show, and his two children that he had. We actually fell in love with them, you know? I know I did, hoping, like, praying that, damn, I want these young children to do something great with their lives. You know what I mean? Sharon kept the family strong, financially and emotionally. That's rare in the show business. Think about it, right? This woman married to this rock star, right? And one time, I remember when they were talking about it, that he could have went broke one time. Went broke. But guess what, though? She kept it going because she was smart. She kept the finances going within the family so they don't go broke, you know what I mean? Because they have a family that they have to take care of and everything. So I think that's a good thing. Ozzy showed us vulnerability, and that vulnerability made millions of fans who didn't even like metal love the man. All right? So millions of fans. Whether you like heavy metal music or not, you can't but fall in love with this iconic figure, this rock star. Huh? Think about this. Big, larger than a life man, huh? Despite if you like the music or not. You know what I mean? Believe me, that was great. So what's one unexpected public figure who inspires you by being themselves? What public figure who inspires you by just being themselves? They're not fake. Being who they really are. You know what I mean? Because we as fans of a lot of these stars, you know what I mean? We want them to be themselves. We don't want them to be fake or none of that crap. Just be who you are, okay? Because who are we to judge who you judge you, right? Now, next, Hulk Hogan. I remember I was 13 years old in 1984 when I first saw Hulk Hogan on WWE TV standing next to Mean Gene Okerlund. But I'm going to tell you this real quick. Back then, I remember we had a 13-inch black and white television. Okay, we didn't have no remote control for the Dagon TV. I was the remote, all right? So I remember one day I'll never forget this, man. I think I was watching, like, because back then they used to have the Saturday morning cartoons. And I think it was like either, I can't remember if it was Thunder the Barbarian or the Incredible Hulk was on that. I think it was the Incredible Hulk that was on right before noon. And my father said, Valentine, I want you to change the channel to channel 20, WDCA. Right? That's in DC, right? And I was so pissed off because I got the last 5 minutes. I want to see the ending of the Dagon show. And then I ended up changing the channel, right? And then I first I was going to go back in my room, probably do something else anyway. And when I saw this big muscular guy on TV talking to the interviewer, Mean Gene Okerlund. Oh, man. It's like I fell in love with that character, Hulk Hogan. He was larger than life, red and yellow, flexing and preaching vitamins, prayers and training. All you say, make sure you say prayers. Eat your vitamins, say your prayers. That's what I used to say. Well, you know Mean Gene. I love that, man. Crack me up every time I used to say that. Well, you know Mean Gene. Right? You know what I mean? This man was larger than life, though. I watched wrestling for the first time because of him. Because of this man, Hulk Hogan, Terry Bollea. All right? I remember the match against Andre the Giant at WrestleMania 3. That was an iconic match. You know what I mean? I think that match really put Hogan on the map when he slammed Andre the Giant. But coming, of course, the wrestling is scripted, of course, right? But later on, in the documentary, they said that Andre the Giant had to really basically jump a little bit for Hogan to pick him up. You know what I mean? Because even back then, Andre the Giant was, his health was declining at that time, right? So, but I still remember that even at today, watching it on regular TV, watching that match. Oh, man. Iconic. And then years later, right, after about 1990 or so, when Hogan lost to the Ultimate Warrior at one of the pay-per-views, and Hogan has retired from wrestling. I remember he said that he retired from wrestling, and he started doing a lot more acting. And then after that, some years later, next thing you know, I see this man on WCW TV. As the NWO. Man, he done reinvented himself again as a wrestler, but this time as a heel. Because even me, as time was going on, you know, like, damn, I don't like this too much of a good guy. He's too much of a good guy. He needs to change. Even back then, I used to say that. This man needs to change. Okay, stop being a damn good guy all the time. And when he became a heel, as I said, the bad guy in wrestling, the NWO, because of him. I never watched WCW before him. You know what I mean? I started flipping the channel between WWE and WCW. You know, every time Hogan was on TV, man, I got to watch the man do something. You know, because I'm a big wrestling fan, okay? Some of y'all love your football, your basketball, your baseball. Me, my entertainment is WWE, even till this day, as a grown man. But I don't give a damn. I love it. All right. But as time goes on, though, man, later in life, he had some controversy that hurt his image. You know, as we all know, you know, some racial things that this man said, you know, which I was really, when I first heard it, it disappointed me, because this is the iconic, this man that I know, I couldn't believe what I was hearing at the time. But you know what, even though after his passing, I was seeing a lot of people, especially black people, going online and still talking negative about him and stuff like that because of the racist rant that he did. You know, me personally, I still never hated the man. I'm serious. I still never hated him. You know what I mean? later in life, of course, it's controversial, right? So, but I still remember that childhood hero as a young child watching the man on TV every week. I'm telling you. You know what I mean? That meant something to me. You know what I mean? So I just couldn't hate a man like that. All right, so question for you. Did you ever have a childhood hero whose flaws made you see them different as an adult? Now, Malcolm Jamal Warner. Oh, man. This one hurts really bad. The Cosby Show gave me 30 minutes a piece every Thursday night. Back then, as a young 13-year-old child, right, was almost 14. And I watched the Cosby Show, watching this young, charismatic fellow on TV, thinking, you know what I mean, in my head, this is my good friend in my head, right? You know what I mean? All the antics he would do with his father and all of that stuff, you know what I mean? The first time I heard the word dyslexia, right, was because of the episode, you know what I mean, when he, of course, had a learning disability, but he overcame that. The very first time I heard that word, right? At that time, when in my neighborhood, you know, we didn't have doctors and lawyers and no like professionals like that to really look up to. We didn't have that. You know what I mean? We had the drug dealers in the streets who were making money. That's who, as a young kid, had to look up to. But for that moment, when the Cosby Show was on, I see the man, the husband, the doctor, and the wife, a lawyer. You know what I mean? First time I've ever seen that on TV. Because before, when you see black folks on TV before then, it always poor in the ghetto. Nothing for black people to really look up to. You know what I mean? And when I saw something like that, that really made me believe in myself, that I can be one day. That made me believe in myself. It is so ironic that the same year I started watching wrestling, 1984, was the same year the Cosby Show premiered. Same year. I know to say these two figures I look to, is gone the same year. I followed Malcolm Jamal Warner, right? Followed him through Malcolm and Eddie, right? It's underrated and hilarious comedy. I love that show, right? I follow him, watching him in The Resident. The Resident was a medical drama show. He gave us a mature, grounded performance as a compassionate doctor. But he was kind of arrogant to that show. He was a little bit arrogant. Because you know he was good, right? As a doctor, he was good. So he was a little bit arrogant, though. But I loved it, though. You know what I mean? Malcolm Jamal Warner, he grew as an actor. And we grew with him. So I have a question for you. What show from youth gave you comfort when the world felt too heavy? May these men rest in peace. May these men rest in power. May these men rest in heaven. Okay, now, to the topic at hand. I want to promote this book right here, Fighting for Fatherhood, right? When I'm trying to think about the topic for this book, I'm going to find this podcast today. I'm like, man, what topic can I think of, right? And then after these men passed away, and these men were fathers, you know what I mean? Family men, all of this, all the great things, right? They're like, you know what, though? Let me combine that and this together. I mean, fatherhood, right? So, Fighting for Fatherhood, available right now on Amazon.com. So, in chapter one, right, I discuss the father's pain is real. You know what I mean? Fathers, we grieve too, but a lot often in silence, right? So, there's so many times when there are so many good dads out there, good fathers out there that want to be a part of the child's life, right? And then, just because the mother has custody or has that child, when she's upset with the man, first thing that she says, that you can't see your kid. And the man out there is trying to do his best, right? Paying his child support, doing whatever. You know what I mean? I've been there before, you know, where I started a little grieving for my kid, because I know I can't see my kid. It really hurt, right? So sometimes society assumes absence means a lack of love, and it doesn't, man. Fathers, I'm telling you right now, you need to stay the course, okay? They were calling you might not be there physically, you know what I mean? Not that, well, I should say most of you anyway, a lot of you are there. It's not of a lack of trying, you know? Because sometimes the mother is upset with you. She don't want you to see your child because she's upset with you for whatever reason. You know what I mean? So don't think. I'm talking about to the men, to the fathers, to the mothers, to the children, right? Don't think that's because the father is not there doesn't mean he does not love you. Okay? It doesn't mean that. There are always two sides to every single story. And everybody's story is different. So sometimes some of these women will do emotional blackmail through their kids. And that's real. You know, I mean, just like I said earlier, you know what I'm saying? If you don't do this right now, you won't be able to see a kid this weekend. You know what I mean? You don't give me an extra $100. You won't see your kids this weekend. It's real. It happens. And it breaks my heart when I hear things like that. You know what I mean? The man's paying his child support. The man do what he's supposed to be doing. But yet, first thing you want to do is deny him his child. You know what I mean? You fight for moments others take for granted. Yeah, don't get me wrong. There are some men out there that do take things for granted. There are, right? We call them deadbeat. Come on. All the politically correct stuff. You know what I mean? If any man out there is not taking care of his children, is not being a father, and he had every opportunity to be a father, he's a daggone deadbeat. He's a sorry excuse for a man. Yeah, I said it. If the man is not doing what he's supposed to do as a man, and because they do have some good mothers out there, I've worked with a lot of them over the years, a lot of good women out there that have kids by these sorry men, right? And these mothers be like, you know what, though? I'm not going to put the man on child support. I'm going to take care of my kid myself. I would never talk about him to the kids. Talk bad about him to the kids. I've heard women say that before that I've worked with. Never talk bad about him to the kids, right? I'll even give him, if you want to come see his kid, his children, I will allow it. I will allow it. You know what I mean? So, for you good men out there, right, you fight for the moments of the day for great. You fight for it, man. You know what I mean? And one way to fight for it, too, which I did, when the kid's a little bit older, you know what I mean? Like my daughter. Sometimes at one point, You know what I mean? I couldn't talk to her. You know what I mean? Because the damn mother always changing their phone number, her phone number and stuff like that. So guess what I did? I had to borrow her damn cell phone. I called her that day. You know what I mean? Sometimes you got to do that. Although you're paying child support, sometimes you just got to spend the extra money, okay, to do that for your children, for your child, okay? So sometimes you have holidays with your child, and sometimes that can be devastating, right? During the holiday times, you want to be with your kids, but you can't. You know what I mean? I do believe the both the parents, and you don't need a court for that though, man. Both the parents could really have a understanding. Be like, you know what? I'm gonna take the kid for Thanksgiving. You take the kid for Christmas. Things like that. How hard is that? Even if you have to write it down on a piece of paper, type it out, whatever. Both of y'all sign it, so y'all can understand. So one person be like, oh yeah, I didn't know. I didn't realize that. But you got the proof, right? I said it. We said it. We agreed on it. Something simple as that. Right? So, sometimes, you know what I mean, the fathers could be in military, right? Military service adds layers of guilt and distance. I had to put that part in because, you know, I was in the military 20 years. I served. And there's a lot of times when I'm overseas or wherever I'm at, and I can't be with my kids. And a lot of times that hurts. You know, you think about your children. You know what I mean? You're overseas in a war zone, but you think about your kids. Like, man, I wish I could be there for my kids. The holiday season coming up, Thanksgiving season coming up, and I can't even be there. Sometimes fathers often suffer quietly with no public sympathy. Right, all this is in the book, and where I discuss that a lot of fathers, right, they suffered quietly because we have men. A lot of times we keep things bottled up inside of us. We do. And I'm telling you, it hurts. It hurts, right? Because we feel though we shouldn't, you know, that man thing is complaining, but it's not complaining. Sometimes we need to talk about these type of things, right? As men, we need to let it out and stop saying, oh, you complain about nothing. It's not man-like. Stop thinking that like that. Sometimes it's good to talk about it, right? You know what I mean? Sometimes you got a close homeboy, your buddy, talk about it with them. But sometimes if you're 22, 25 years old, right? And men, you know what I mean? We talk to our boys, but sometimes it'd be better to talk to another female too as well. You know what I'm saying? I was gonna have a good female friend. Like a good female friend that you can actually talk to. Somebody you know you can hang with and you actually have a conversation with. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times, a lot of females will give you some great advices. I'm telling you. Happen. So a child's love shouldn't be conditional on the mother's mood. Again, sometimes when the mom gets pissed off at the father, and the mother be like, you can't see your children. You know, because of the mood she's in. You know, presence doesn't require permission. You should be able to go over there, add the father, and this is how I feel. Whether you, I should say, add the non-custodial parent. It shouldn't require permission from the custodial parent for you to go see your child. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be at all. You should be able to see, you know what I'm saying? You should be able to say, look, this weekend I'm off. I'm coming to come pick up the kids. And other parents should be like, okay, not a problem. You know, you understand me? Unless the other parent probably made plans or something, that's a different story. But other than that, no, man. You should be able to come see your children anytime. A father's pain deserves to be acknowledged. You know what I mean? Now, when I say a father should be able to come see his kids, right? That means he still should be respectful of the mother's home, no matter what. You know what I mean? Give her a heads up. say a week or two in advance, week or two in advance. Even if y'all have, you know what I mean, some kind of custody arrangement, right? Or whatever, through the courts or whatever. But you still want to see the children more. Still be respectful to the mom or to the custodial parent. Good to be. So have you ever judged a father without knowing the full story? How many of y'all out there has judged a father without knowing the full story? You know what I mean? Like I said earlier, right? There's always two sides to a story, okay? Or I should say three sides. The A side, the B side, and the truth, okay? All right. So now, in chapter 2, I discuss staying the course. Showing up consistently changes the narrative over time. You know what I mean? You show up, you do your best to show up for your kids, right? And sometimes the mother will be like, oh, you can't come over, can't see the kids. But if you can at least call, you know what I mean? If the kids are a little older, especially now, they have email in their school now, at least from junior high school, I think, and older, right? They got school email. Get the email if you have to. And if you got to email them something, show them something that how much you love them. You know what I mean? If you buy a little card and mail it, put it in the mail and mail them home and praying and hoping that the mother give them that dagger card, right? All this stuff. So emotional reactions, right, can cost you. You need to stay calm. Now think about this, right? You go over there and say, I want to see my child now. I want to see my kids now. And the mother will be like, no, you can't see a kid. I don't give a damn, right? And then you go, you actually let him fool. What's going to happen? They're going to send your ass to jail. And then in the future, they're going to make it hard for you. It's going to make it hard for you. So stay calm. Even if you got to walk away for now. You know what I mean? I'm telling you right now. And actually in this book too, where I discussed it, right? About different programs that you can actually call. You know what I mean? That can help you. Especially if you don't have the money. Because, you know, I wish I would have known about these type of programs back in the day. You know? If you don't have the money to hire a lawyer. There are lawyers and programs out there that could help you pro bono for free. You know what I mean? So stay calm. You know what I mean? But don't give up. Okay? Don't give up. Consistency is the only way to win in the long game. Right? So stay consistent, man. Now, one thing about children. Children are not dumb. The mother could do all that crap. Or I should say, the non-custodial parents, right? Could do all that crap to you, but kids knows that and eventually they're gonna realize things. And if you stay the calm with, and if you stay the course, the same children, you're gonna know that my father tried. You know, the child is 18 now. You know, I'm gonna love my father. I love my mother too, but I'm gonna love my father because I saw it going up. You know what I mean? Don't feel guilty, man. Or they don't feel guilty. As long as you know that you are doing the right thing by being present, being consistent to your child, right? You don't have to be perfect, but you do have to be present, right? Sometimes some of y'all might live in different states, all of the state. Figure out a way, man. It is your responsibility as a man, right? You decide to move to a different state, right? It's not the mother's responsibility to send the child to you. Y'all need to work on some kind of agreement where you either go pick up the child and bring the child back to your house or you pay for the plane ticket for the kids to come to you, right? And if they're under 12 years old, you got to pay the extra $150 for the unaccompanied minor fee. I did it. That's all I know. You know what I mean? When you pay for no matter how much the ticket costs, you pay for the unaccompanied minor fee, right? It's your responsibility as a man, as a father, as a parent, if you really want to see your child to do those type of things, okay? It's not on the mother. Oh, yeah, don't get me wrong, though. It'd be nice as heck if the mother could help her with the dagger, with a plane ticket, right? But don't count on it, although you're paying your child support. Don't count on it because they're going to tell you nope. Most of them will, right? Some of them will be like, okay, I'll help you. You know what I mean? Stuff like that, but a lot of them won't, right? Your efforts today are your child's truth tomorrow. Let me say that again. Your efforts today are your child's truth tomorrow. Okay? That means if your child see you out there trying, you know what I mean? The child have no choice but to not to deny, oh, my father, he did his best. Because kids aren't dumb. All right? See what I'm saying? Sometimes the mother try to block the calls, right? That can plant the seed of love too, right? Because the mother probably hates you guys because you were never a good boyfriend. But just because you're not a good boyfriend to the mother, that don't mean you can't be a good father to your kids, okay? Point blank. You know what I mean? That don't mean you can't be a good father to your kids, right? Just like I said earlier, maybe something like email, you know, because today's time, these kids have phones, these kids are smart. You know what I mean? Even if you create an email and tell your child, right? Of course, the child going to tell the mom, of course, which is okay, you know? And the mom going to do her best. You know what I'm saying? But the child's going to realize, you know what I mean, that when he or she gets older and you're trying, and the child's going to realize that my mother tried to keep my father away from me, but my father never gave up. I mean, you know, trust me, those kids are going to think in their mind, they might bring it up to their mom because they would love and respect their mother, you know what I mean? But in their mind, they're going to be like, you know what, they're probably going to complain to their friends. I said, you know what? My mother, my whole life, my mother tried to keep me away from my father. But no matter what, my father was still there for me. Still was there. You know what I mean? Trust me. And one thing I always tell you, right? Don't lie to your kids. If a kid asks you something, because I remember my daughter asked me when she was 16. I told her straight up. Yeah, I was in the wrong. I'm not going to lie to my kids. What? Be honest. I told her exactly what happened. Okay? You know what I mean? Just be real with your children, man. I'm telling you. Because in the long run, that's going to help you a whole lot. Sometimes in today's time, you got to document everything, right? Not for drama, but for clarity. Because sometimes, hey, you might have to use it in court one day. If you say something, you should write it down on this date. Such and such happened. Write it down. All right? You, as a man, you should write about bitterness for your child's sake. I wish I would learn about this when I was doing research for this book. A lot of the things, because me and my kid's mom, a lot of time, oh, man, we used to have some serious argument. Some deep argument. I mean, argument. You know what I mean? One thing I never liked when she would argue with me in front of the damn kids. You don't do certain those type of things, man. You know what I mean? Let a child be in a damn child's place. Point blank. You know, if you have an issue with me, go in another room or something like that. Don't try to show off in front of you, as a woman, in front of your damn kids. Try and be your kid's friend. See what I'm saying? It ain't cool. So, your legacy starts with daily decisions. Your presence is louder than her permission. Remember, let me repeat that. Your presence is louder than her permission. So question, what's one way you stayed consistent even when it wasn't appreciated? Now, think about it, right? What's one way you stayed consistent even when it wasn't appreciated. Chapter 3, I talked about redefining fatherhood, right? Look at it again, Trey's book. Fighting for fatherhood. Very important that we do that as men, as fathers. Fatherhood doesn't have to look traditional to be valid, right? It don't have to be the same how our fathers did or their fathers did things. Right? Things could be different today. You know what I mean? Especially with technology today. Think about it, right? Y'all young men out there. I'm talking to specifically to y'all young men out there. Let's say you live in another state, right? Say you live in Nebraska, for example. Your kids live in Maryland, for example, right? In today's time, this generation, a lot of y'all love your video games. Come on, let's talk about it. Y'all love your video games, right? That's a good way to bond with your children over games, right? Y'all can be talking to each other while y'all playing the games. That's a good way to bond. Let's talk about it, all right? I see my damn teenager, my stepkids, man, my stepson, you know, I bought him this Xbox before the PlayStation. Now he got an Xbox, man. And I'll see him playing the video games with homeboys, talking to his friends on the phone. My damn son, I got a young 10-year-old son, right? Him and my grandson, practically almost the same age, right? So we just left Georgia to move to Colorado, and I'm hearing him, my son, and my grandson talking, playing Roblox. And talking to each other, you know what I mean? So there's different ways to do things these days, man. You don't have to do the whole thing, oh, I got to go pick up my son and take him to the park. Yeah, that's good too. That's great too, right? But there's nothing wrong with, hey, you know what though? I got my Xbox. I'm going to buy my son an Xbox. I'm going to do it. Buy some. You know what I'm saying? And guess what? We can play video games, you know what I mean? Limited though. Make sure you have a time frame, all right? Don't be out there all day. Don't forget, right? The kid got to go to school, you got to go to work, okay? All right? All the good stuff, right? Even if you were in, let me go back. So you define fatherhood, right? Not the courts, nor your ex. You know what I mean? You define fatherhood. The courts sometimes suck. I'm telling you right now, the courts suck because they don't give a damn about the damn father at all, or the, you know what I mean? They say it's best interest of the child, right? So what's best interest of the child? Huh? Explain that. Best interest of the child is both parents to be together. You know what I mean? Because the damn court sometimes, unless you have money to spend again, for you to get some like custody or visitation, for you to get visitation, you know what I mean? That woman could take you to court and put you on child support. And then that's it. But not once did them judges say, okay, you're paying child support, but this is when we're going to see your kids. You know what I mean? So the courts suck. They don't give a damn. Cause if they really care, they will be like, hey, you know what though? The man, I'm going to make sure he pays this month for child support, but this is going to be the custody of visitation arrangement at the same time. Right, that man, I shouldn't have to go to court. You put me on court. You tell me how much I got to pay for child support. Then I got to turn around and come back and spend money to go to court again that I don't have for me to just get visitation for my children. Or hire a lawyer with money that I don't have. So, does the court care? No. I don't believe that the court cares at all. The system does not care. It's not about a black thing. It's not about a white thing. It's about a human thing, humanity. It's about taking care of each other, of us. You know what I'm saying? These people don't give a damn at all. Because if they really did, they would figure out a way to make sure everybody is in compliance with certain things. Visitation, child support. Child support, visitation, point blank. Right? So you are your father even from afar, okay? Even if you live, like I said, Omaha and Maryland, right? You're far apart from your kids, right? You're still the father, you know what I mean? And you're still a good parent, no matter what. Parenting without applause is the ultimate test. Quiet consistent speaks louder than loud claims. You know what I mean? Sometimes be quiet, do your thing. You ain't got to be all loud and stuff like that. Because loudness doesn't solve nothing. It just sucked me. All right? Be all loud. Loud for what? Your mistakes don't disqualify you, okay? They deepen your humanity. We all make mistakes. We're human beings, man. We make mistakes. So don't let that disqualify you, okay? Presence is power, not proximity, okay? Your presence is power, okay? Your love, write a narrative your kids will one day read. Think about it. Your love, write a narrative your kids will one day read. What's your personal definition of a good father? Huh? Tell me. What is your personal definition of a good father? All right, chapter 4, I talked about the system is not for you, but keep fighting. Just like I said, right? I was talking about the court earlier, right? Courts favor custodial parents, usually moms. No matter what, 9 times out of 10, the court is going to always favor the mom, right? And just because she's the mother, right? That doesn't mean you can't be just as good of a father as that mother would, right? And I really generally believe it sometimes. Not in all cases, though. But sometimes, if the man is given a chance, he probably could be a better father than a mother would. I really believe that. In some cases, I really believe that. If given a chance. Fathers are often viewed as guilty until proven innocent. I really believe that too. You're guilty. You'll pay $1,000 a month for child support. Not saying, hey, you know what though? Let's talk about it, right? Let's have a conversation. You know what I mean? The legal process is slow, expensive, and emotionally draining. Think about it, right? The legal process is slow, expensive, and emotionally draining. Visitation becomes a luxury, not a right. And it should be your right, not a daggone luxury, okay? Because it takes two. It takes two to have a damn baby, okay? You must document everything to protect your role. The system does reward emotional presence. It does. No matter how much you do, right? The system don't care. Judges can't see love, but they can see effort, right? Judges can't see love, right? They see effort, yes. That's true to a certain, that's true. You know what I mean? But some of these judges, though, don't give a damn. I know in my case, you know, when I went to child support, stopped paying my dad in child support, and the dad and judges not even said, look, I'm going to make sure you get visitation too. No. They didn't even say that crap, man, to me. And to me, it's not right. So I have them feel disdain when it comes to this court system. I do. Strategy is survival in the courtroom, right? You got to come prepared. If you go to court, you got to come prepared. Bring everything that you need to do, right? And I wish I would have known better back then. If they want to put you on child support, I think you should ask the judge to about visiting at the same time. Maybe that's probably something I did not do. I did not know no better. You know what I'm saying? Back then. I was young. I did not know no better back then. But now I'm telling you right now, if the court is not talking about visitation, ask the court about visitation. Tell the court. Sometimes they might have somebody judge. Now, that could be nice. Some of them. You know what I mean? If you talk to them respectfully, say, Your Honor, I don't have no money. I'm broke. I'm paying you told me to pay the month for child support, but where am I going to see my kids, Your Honor? I'm asking you to help me. I talk to them like that. Talk to them that, you know what I mean, with emotions, but respectful, but be respectful at the same time. And they do have some judges out there that will understand, but a lot of times you have to advocate for yourself. You know what I mean, even if you have a lawyer, sometimes they're a lawyer, they're not going to advocate for you. Sometimes they're wasting time too. If the woman is going to put you on child support. So I even have a damn lawyer. Just go to court, pay your court costs, call it a damn day. Advocate for your damn self. Do some homework. All right, we have the internet today. Do your homework. Do some research. You know what I mean? And come to that court, let you have some sense. You know what I mean? Don't come to a court wearing no damn jeans and all the crap. You know, if you got braids in here, put it in a ponytail, or something. Make sure you groom it nice. Because there's nothing wrong with having braids, all right? But don't let your damn braids look all dirty and look all raggedy, all right? Groom that damn braid, the beard nice. If you have a goatee or a beard, shave, you know what I mean? Shape it up real good. Make me look presentable. Wear a shirt and then tie, right? Even if you got to wear jeans, although I hate it when I see a man wearing jeans, shirt, and tie, and tennis shoes. I hate that crap with a passion. But, hey, that's new that generation, okay? But still dress nice. Wear a shirt and tie, come to court, and be confident, okay? And all of this. So be respectful. Because if you be respectful, 9 times out of 10, the judge will be respectful as well to you. And the judge will, 9 times out of 10, will listen to you, okay? I know earlier today I was just ranting because that's my damn experience. You know what I mean? Maybe if I had somebody, OGs, talk to me about certain things. But they probably didn't know either. So I can't be mad at nobody but me. You understand me? All right? So, have you ever felt the system was built to push you out instead of pulling you in? Talk to me about that. Talk to me. Healing from bitterness, right? Bitterness is a position. It's a poison, sorry. It hurts you more than her. I used to be bitter as hell. Trust me, at one point in my life, I was depressed. Very depressed. Because although I'm paying my child support, I'm doing my thing, I used to thought that my children was going to grow up to hate my guts. I wasn't there. But you know, it's the opposite. You know what I'm saying? My kids are grown. Grown adults. We have three of my kids are grown adults right now. And we are closer than ever. You know what I mean? But at that time, you know what I mean? That was my insecurity. That was my insecurity. You know what I mean? Feeling depressed and down. I'm telling you. Oh man, I'm talking about depression. I really had a bad depression. About 20, 25 years ago, 2000, 2001. You know what I mean? Probably even longer than that. You know, but I stayed the course, though. No matter what, I did what I'm supposed to do. You know, paid my child support. You know, like I said, I was in the military. So no matter where I was, stateside, I made sure I bought these kids plane tickets for them to come visit me. You know, because I wanted them to come visit me. And, you know, at the time, I had... 2 different baby mamas, as they would say, mothers, right, of my kids, whatever. And for the first few years of their life, they know each other. But guess what I did, though? I made sure, as a man, that the kids knew each other. So what I did, I remember buying them all the plane tickets for them to come visit me. And they came visit me for like a week or so, 2 weeks, for the whole Christmas. And I made sure... Right to me, that was probably the best Christmas I had, because I was able to buy them all kind of nice, expensive stuff at the time. I think for those 3 kids, I probably spent over $2,000 at the time just for them alone, right, for Christmas. Because I wanted to see, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, that I'm there. I'm going to be there for them, right? And I was there for them a lot through the years, even as them as going to those right now. You know what I'm saying? They could be like, daddy, I need some money. But all those going adults, I'm like, I'm going to send you, but I want my damn money back. I tell them that too. Hey, I'm going to send you damn money, but I want my damn money back, all right? I ain't playing. So what grudge are you holding that your child might feel the effects of, huh? Are you holding any kind of grudge? Fatherhood, man, right? It's very serious. You know what I mean? Fatherhood is very serious. So, bend and bond that can't be broken, right? Bend and bond that can't be broken. Relationships grow from consistency, not convenience, all right? Show up even when it's hard. Still show up. Sometimes you might be tired, but you got to show up. If you live in the same states, right, you got to show up for your kids. And I'm going to tell you this, right, that how can you be a man call yourself a man, and you live in the same city as your child, and there's nothing hindering you from seeing the kids, right? The mother's not hindering you. You can see your kid at any time. And you don't try to see your children. How can you call yourself a man because of that? Huh? As a father, you should be out there doing your best. Okay? Stop making excuses, all right? Men, young men out there, stop making excuses. Young women out there, if you're dealing with a man and you know he's doing the best, stop denying that man to see his children. It's not right. It ain't. I don't give a damn how mad you are. Get over that shit. That's his kids too. You know what I'm saying? Get over that. That's his damn kids too. All right? Stop putting your feelings in this crap. And stop talking about negative things to your children, to that man. Okay, eventually, those kids are going to say something. Right? Stop saying negative things to your children, okay? All right? I'm telling you. Okay? You can make it work. A lot of times you don't need a course. And men, if you have a good woman out there, whether you have a breakup or not, right? This is the last thing I'm saying real quick. If you have a good woman out there, and even though you're a breakup, you know what I'm saying? Be there and take care of your kids, okay? No matter what. But for now, I'm saying go get my book available on Amazon, Fighting for Fatherhood. Okay, Fighting for Fatherhood, all right? Until next time, thank you for tuning into Common Ground. Until next time, keep the conversation going.
You're tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.